wonderful job, praise Pan again this morning. One thing I know, that thought I was blind, but now I see. These words come from our gospel reading. A man who had been blind from birth. And this is the third Sunday in a row when our gospel reading features a rather lengthy account of someone who is transformed by their encounter with Jesus, by seeing Jesus, by meeting Jesus. Would you like to count yourself into this number? My life was transformed after I met Jesus, after I learned about him. Remember, going back to our preaching schedule this Lenten season, first there was the Pharisee named Nicodemus, went to see Jesus late evening or nighttime. Then there was the Samaritan woman at the well. And now there is the man born blind. The story that is before us from the Gospel of John again, chapter 9, verses 1 through 41. We got it a little short. We just read 25 verses. But this man's journey was to be transformed from humble blind beggar to become a powerful evangelist, you might say, in the end of his story. It always happened to people who met Jesus. He always transformed us, changed us into something so beautiful. How did that happen to this man, for this man? By his encounter with Jesus. By his coming to see the one thing Jesus always wants for us all to see, for our lives to change, so that we would be able to see. First thing in the gospel reading this morning, you see it all the way across this reading, the question that is before us: who is sinned? Who sinned? It comes again and again, and most of the time it comes from the mouth of Pharisees, because that seems to be their job, to see who sinned. Of course, they never sinned, but somebody else sinned, and they were to determine who was the one who sinned. Now, this man had been blind from birth. Can you imagine that? And in those days, that means that he didn't never see and never have many opportunities to get anywhere in his life. He became one more beggar filling up the streets of Jerusalem. And there were quite many at that time. To make it worse, most of the people he encountered, this man, would have assumed that he did something very, very bad against God, because he ended up being born blind. He or his parents, somebody have sinned. There's no answer to his blindness other way. He would have endured many a whisper, should we say, behind his back through the years. Every time people whispering, what did he do that God is punishing him so bad, this bad? What about his parents? Maybe his parents sinned where they were expecting this boy. Even Jesus' disciples openly wonder what this man did wrong, or what his parents did wrong that caused him to be born blind. I wonder sometimes if things have really changed in this world, at least that respect. At our worst, it seems to me, we will still assume that those who succeed in life are somehow more blessed by God than those who struggle constantly with illnesses or other problems. At our worst, we still judge other people based on these assumptions we have. Or just as bad, we offer judgment to ourselves in the same way. But here's the thing, Jesus sees things differently. And that is a wonderful thing, am I right? He doesn't see things as we see it, because we are suffering up to some degree with this blindness, even we physically see. He tells his disciples that there is more to life than meets the eye. My favorite saying is many times, there's more to it. That is just based on my personal experience. First thing that comes to my mind may not be the last one, the final truth about matters. Now, this particular man was born blind so that God's work might be revealed in him. God had a plan and purpose for this, for his life. But he couldn't see it until Jesus came along. But that is the same thing with us, am I right? We didn't see many things until Jesus came along. Jesus appeared to us. We learned to know Christ. Secondly, comes out from this reading, Jesus came to restore our dignity. Yes, we are clear that Jesus came to die for our sins and to forgive us. As important as this is that Jesus came to restore our dignity. Very important thing, friends. When I think about how Jesus restored our dignity, I remember a story about another beggar I was told about. This story comes from Spain, from my missionary friend who his family were missionaries in Spain. His name is Benito Honka. Still in Spain, he saw this beggar in front of his artist studio in the town when he was ministering. This beggar came every day, just about every morning, across the street from his studio, Benito's studio. By the way, he used his skills so beautifully for his mission work. So beautifully. So this man, this beggar in Spain, there he was just about every day begging, asking. That was the only way for him to make his living. So my friend Benito had always few art students that he was mentoring. They came over to his art studio, and there he was mentoring them. Some of them very promising, some were maybe not that talented. I don't know, what do you think about your artist skills? My drawing skill, my painting skills are so low that I can't even describe it. I'm not artist, don't ask me to draw anything for you. So one day these students were asked in the studio of my friend Benito to paint something, an image of their own choice. Pick up something here in studio, what you see interesting. And then he would be mentoring them. Wait, you didn't see things quite in right angle. Try this, try that. And some of them make huge progress. So one of his students chose to paint an image of that man was sitting outside across the street, through the window. And this young artist said, can I do it through the window? And Benito said, well, try. You don't know if you don't try it. I think you can. But it takes a little bit longer time. And you need to consider several things. I don't know what all needs to be considered. But anyway, he started painting that man who was begging across the street from Benito's Benito's studio. So he worked several days, maybe 3, 4, 5 days on his assignment. And then when he was about done, Benito believed it was very good. So he encouraged his student to go ahead and go down over to that man. There he was begging again today, on that day. Show that picture to this man. There he was sitting by the road with a discouraging look, as always, downcast eyes, a sad, almost defeated look on his face. Benito told me that when my student had finished his work, he showed it to this man. And the first thing this man asked, this beggar asked, is that me? Is that me? And students didn't say anything, but then this man asked, but I don't look like that. I don't look like that. And then Benito said it was one of the most beautiful conversations that took place on the street corner when this my student said, well, but that is the person I see in you. I painted what I saw in you. And he said, Timo, you should see that man's eyes. Everything changed on his face. Then he said, I believe he started laughing a little bit. I never saw this man laugh. He started smiling a little bit. And something changed when he learned, but I see that person in you. There's something about you. And that is true what the artist called Jesus sees in us, in you and me. Am I right? Because he came to restore our dignity. He sees something in us that we don't always see in that way. And he wants to restore our dignity, to forgive our sins, as we all need forgiveness, to reconcile us to God, and to reconcile us to other people. There's always need for that. He came, in other words, so that we might truly see who we are to God and who we are to one another and who we are to ourselves. And third and last, who is blind in this story? Who is truly and really blind in this story? That's an interesting thing. Namely, today's gospel reading is about much more than physical sight or physical blindness. In this story, the healing of this man's physical sight is told in two verses only. 6 and 7 verses. 2 verses. But there's much more about blindness. By the way, there's 41 verse, a verse telling this story of blindness. 2 verses addressing the physical blindness. So it seems to me that it was easy to Jesus to restore this man's physical blindness. But it took much more effort to restore his spiritual blindness and the spiritual blindness of this community. Helping this man to physically see, in other words, was the easiest part for Jesus. After this man's physical sight is restored, the neighbors, as we read it, argue about whether this man really was born blind or not. It's weird, isn't it? As if they haven't seen that this boy has never seen. He's been always blind. And now he sees, and they start wondering, well, he probably wasn't really blind. They wanted to deny the work of God and the miracle of God in the life of this young man. They refused to see that a miracle has happened. They would rather blind themselves to it than have to rethink a little bit more about their life in this world so they can see the miracle that took place. Then the Pharisees, on the other hand, seemed like they were less concerned with whether the miracle really happened or not. Their concern was that it took place on the Sabbath. That was a horrible crime, wasn't it? Somebody's eyesight was restored on the Sabbath. They are unable to see the miracle because they are blinded by their religious rules. Don't point too much finger at them because it's sometimes pretty close to us. Are you with me? Sometimes hitting pretty close to us. Let me share a story. Back in my previous church, there's a fairly young lady with three children start coming to our church. And before too long, I start coming a younger man, younger gentleman with them. So I was picturing that's a family. Then they've been coming for quite some time. So this lady, this man wasn't there on that Sunday. So I wanted to just talk a little bit more. And since they've been coming faithfully and express how glad we are. Two girls, one boy, and then this mommy. She said, Pastor, we've been attending for quite some time in a church. And now I believe I want to come here. Would that be okay? I said, I don't remember saying anybody no if they start coming to our church. I don't remember saying no to anybody. So, well, we've been attending that church a long time. Actually, it's my family church. And there happened to be that 3 years ago, we got divorced with my husband. He wasn't much husband, really. He never took care of our three children. He wasn't much around. He had his issues and problems, and we tried to get help. And I haven't seen him in years, but 3 years ago, our divorce got final, became final. And a group of elders from the church walked to me one Sunday after service, and they say, have you divorced that man? And she said, yes, we are divorced. So where is that man, they asked. I don't know. I've been told that he might be in Thailand, but I'm not quite sure. I haven't seen him in years. He hasn't supported our family. He hasn't supported our children. But then we have seen that other man. Are you in relationship with that other man who is with you coming to church? Yes, we are. We are dating, and we are seriously dating. His work schedule is so weird. He was working at the airport as a security person. So weird that he couldn't make it every Sunday morning in the service. Then they told her that, but you didn't know that you can't divorce and come to our church. You can't continue coming to this church if you divorce. It's against the word. You can't. And she said, 2 Sundays, 2, 3, 4 Sundays, I didn't go anywhere. I was so sad. I can't go back to my church where I've been going all my life, just about. And then finally she started coming, attending our services, and seemed like she was very comfortable. And before too long, this man started coming more often to church. And they end up joining the church. Actually, I did their wedding too. I said, Madam, don't feel all that bad about that they didn't want you to come back. I won't go back to that church myself. So if I quit being perfect in their eyes and they say, stay out of here. You are not good enough for me. You're still good for Jesus, and that's the main thing. Don't never go back to that church. If they were the only church in town, if they are treating you so bad and poorly and misunderstanding what the heart of gospel is, which is mercy and forgiveness and restoration. So the blindness is still going on in our communities and churches. And it will never go away. It will never go away. It's still here. Even we see things physically okay, but our spiritual blindness is still there. This blind man, after his eyes opened, he says to this Pharisees who questioned him again and again, he says, I don't know whether he's a sinner talking about Jesus or not. One thing I know, that thought I was blind, now I see. And that makes all the difference. He finally got it from physical blindness, seeing clearly, but what makes much more sense, much different, he starts seeing spiritually who Jesus is, who restored his eyesight, but also restored his life all the way and dignity. There's somebody else that we have heard, and we are going to sing the song that he wrote, John Newton. How many of you have heard Amazing Grace?
Easy question, am I right? And you know the story behind it. This John Newton was a slave trader, a captain of the slave ship, hauling slaves from Africa to England and then start bringing them here to the United States as well. They did many years, make lots of money. Then he started feeling uneasy about what he was doing, seeing all things and seeing the results, what that slavery meant. Horrible things. Talking about restoring dignity. He started reading Bible and wondering what is the right thing to do. And then God put his finger on his heart. You've been a terrible man. You have done horrible things. And he turned his life to Christ. As a matter of fact, of course, he quit that business and he became a strong speaker against slavery all the way. He went to seminary, became an Anglican priest and songwriter, and he wrote that song, Amazing Grace, that we are going to sing in the end of this service. But it is not his story, but it's my story and your story too, am I right? And we are to fight against blindness, friends. We are to fight against blindness so we can see clearly. And I'm not referring only physical blindness, but also spiritual blindness. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. If the ushers can come forward at this time for the ministry of giving.